equals burn. The propaganda's win, stress feeding on my tension. My countrymen, they love their fiction. Words are now displayed with good intentions.
Welcome to 1 of 200, the media and politics podcast. I'm joined by my co-host Angela. How are you doing?
Kia ora, I'm pretty well, thanks. How are you?
I am alive. The world is moving too fast. It is.
Oh,
is
so
it still
good.
February? I think it's still February.
I mean, it's still February, but also like weeks that take decades. Technically, it's the 2040s now.
Oh, that's
like
absolutely
it's still
correct.
2025, but it's also the 2040s.
It's also the 2040s. God Emperor Trump has changed the calendar.
Yeah.
We're now using the Trumpian calendar. And look, it's the world we live in. So much to talk about. It is Saturday the 22nd of February, which is important because we're going to be talking about stuff that will have moved forward by the time you might be listening to this. And the first cab off the rank, as they say, is the fucking Destiny Church. Wow. What outrageous pieces of shit.
Brother Brian's Black Shirts is my cute little alliterative name that I have for them at the moment. Just because, like, they are terrifying, and like, genuinely, what's going on is very fucking scary. But also, like, I don't want to dignify them with the name that takes them seriously.
No,
which I know
absolutely.
is like peak resist lib of me to like a certain extent, but also like they're silly little boys. You know, he's not the Messiah.
That you're taking the Chris Hipkins line, I see.
Yeah, see, exactly. But you know, like, also fuck this guy.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
But
yeah,
after last Sunday, so this kind of all happened after our weekly recording. So we've got a whole week of stuff to catch up on. Essentially, if you haven't caught it, or if you're from overseas and listening to this, there's a I think we call them Christo-fascist, eh? There's a Christo-fascist evangelist organization in New Zealand run by a figure called Bishop Brian Tamaki. They what do you say? Like they're quite significantly.
Well, they're our homegrown megachurch, right? It's like like the useful way to think of them. Like they are a megachurch. They exist in an incredibly deprived area of South Auckland is where they come from, to the best of my understanding. They have, you know, the sermons with the music and the dancing and the light shows and things like that.
They have the tithes.
You know, well, I was just going to get to that. Yeah, they have a whole thing about tithing, and Brian Tamaki is constantly like riding around on new Harley Davidsons brought from like a bunch of, you know, broke nanas in Manurewa or whatever. Yeah, so they are very, like, I think in a lot of ways they are very classically American, and I feel like that might be a theme for some of this episode. But
somehow.
What seems less classically American, though, about them is that they're, like, New Zealand's only church with, I'll, like, escalate the terminology as we go, but, like, with a football firm, fundamentally, is, like, I think how it's useful to think of them. They have a number of programs, but a program primarily called Man Up, which is like their anti-domestic violence program, which teaches you to stop being such a pussy little bitch. And that's supposedly going to stop you from hitting women. Reports vary on the effectiveness of this. But Man Up is a program that has been targeting people from, you know, recently come out of prison. They've been trying to get themselves inside of prison, although thankfully, to the best of my knowledge, they haven't been super successful with that. They get referrals from court sometimes, and just generally they seek out troubled men, abusive men, violent men a lot of the time to try and do the sort of rehab program. But more or less what they've constructed is, yeah, depending on how aggressive you're feeling, either a football firm or low-key a paramilitary. You know, they dress like a gang. There's been a lot of like gang discourse about the Man Up groups, because they dress like a gang, they ride around on motorbikes, they have patches, you know, they've got the little like gay little vest thing. And so, you know, like I think there's been a lot of discourse recently about, you know, like why aren't they a gang, why aren't we regulating them like a gang? But they're not a gang. Gangs are, sorry, cooler than that. They are a bunch of enforcers, right? And they have a centralized command structure, you know, they've got some degree of regimentation. It is in large effect, like, yeah, English football yobs, or, like the sort of what would later become something like the Stürmer Bietling, or the black, like the brown shirts or the black
Yeah.
shirts in Italy. They're the street violence mob, basically. And I guess that's what makes them distinct and brings us more or less to the current situation.
Yeah, I want to talking about them in like kind of organized fascist terms as well. I want to read this passage out from Dr. Emir Akade's piece in Newsroom over the week, talking about kind of the material realities as well, and how Destiny Church is able to manipulate and bring people in to be parts of these groups, which is also a very classic fascist tactic and something we've talked about so much on this podcast, and the organized kind of institutional left has just not picked this up at all. It's such a fucking failure of liberalism every single time. It, being Destiny Church, is also rich, meaning it can meet people's real material needs. Destiny volunteers provide food parcels and accommodation. Destiny social services provide court support and social workers. Destiny front groups run re rehabilitative, air quotes, programs to which government agencies refer clients. These front groups then groom their members to act as Destiny's foot soldiers. Destiny has flourished a century during which neoliberalism was consolidated as New Zealand's governing philosophy. The state, once the guarantor of ordinary New Zealanders' living conditions, has retreated from social life. The state no longer provides housing on the scale necessary, nor at a cost Destiny's base can afford. So we've got this fascistic or outright fascist megachurch that is able to provide food, shelter, support to impoverished groups within New Zealand society. It has a range of different groups like Man Up that you mentioned earlier, Angela, which it then uses to turn these people into foot soldiers. And foot sold they did
Indeed.
on Sunday when they just decided to do some terrorism last weekend. And I think we can say it was terrorism, right? Like, I think that's Brian Tamaki said essentially, fuck them up, like go and get these people doing a drag show, a drag story time, I think it was, at Te Aratu Library, and they ran into the library, and create a situation. I think 30 or more children and their caregivers had to barricade themselves in a room. Reporting on it has been fucking garbage. A lot of early reporting said like no one was hurt, but we know that there's
Turns
at
out
least one
a
person.
child was concussed
Yep.
by one of the Destiny Church guys, which,
A child.
nothing says protecting the children like giving them brain injuries.
It's absolutely, and this is what I mean by failures of liberalism. They're so like willing to give the benefit of the doubt here and say, oh no, they're just doing a protest, right? I'd mention the police, but the police aren't going to do anything, right? Like,
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, they weren't doing a protest in any meaningful way. Like, I suppose, yeah, I was like, maybe you could call it a counter protest, but a counter protest generally requires there first to be a protest to counter.
yep.
And in this case, yeah, it was a situation where, a performer, effectively like a clown. Like, I think when we think about these like drag things, it's useful to think like drag queens and kings are like literally the postmodern ears to like clowning as a
Yeah,
performative
they're
art.
entertainers.
Yeah, absolutely. So literally a clown doing a clown show for some kids. And yeah, the idea was to basically try and introduce violence into that situation to, yeah, as you say, like scare the shit out of everyone, to terrify them, as
Right,
it
which they
were,
did, which they did.
which they very successfully did. And to try shut the event down as a sort of, we're not going to take this shit in our world anymore kind of statement, right? Yeah, calling it a protest definitely doesn't work. I think just attack, yeah, assault, something like that fits.
It's for political reasons, right? And it is being targeted transparently against minority groups and people who associate with those groups. It's and I know, like, look, I'm not going to kid myself about how media and politicians in this country act, like I don't expect any of them to come out and say, actually, this is terrorism. This makes the definition of terrorism really easily, but it is. And I would have hoped someone would force that word, that term, into the public discourse on this.
What I think is interesting about this, and as you say, like the vulnerable groups, as it were, that Destiny is going for here, is that we're starting to see the widening of the wedge, right? We're starting to get past the thin edge of that, and the thin edge of that wedge, which Destinies have been like mostly really worked up about for, well, at least the last 2, 3 years, has been trans people. And now they are sort of using that as their in, like having a yes, liberal media, liberal institutions, which are doing the sort of polite, like, oh, we're just not sure about trans people. Like, it's very complicated. They are capitalizing on that uncertainty and have to whip up this movement against trans people. And now we are starting to witness that it was never just trans people, in fact. As demonstrated by the fact they're now just, attacking general pride events. One of the things that I think has been interesting, in terms of like who would say something. I mean, imagine if we had a commissioner who was responsible for upholding human rights. It's a shame we don't, but if we did, right? And who would you get in that role, right? You'd probably want to get, I don't know, somebody who's been in the community a bit, maybe a gay man. But what if, unfortunately, the gay man that you got has like spent the last 5 odd years giving himself brain damage over trans people? And yeah, no, I'm talking about the current Human Rights Commissioner, of course, Stephen Rainbow,
Who does exist?
who does exist,
You'd be
who,
forgiven for forgetting that.
well, you would be, because remarkably, Stephen Rainbow has been torn in this incredible position between, on the one hand, I suspect he was probably at the parade later in the day, which was also attacked by Destiny's Church. I don't think he was at the story event, but like he has witnessed a community, like a minoritized community that he is part of, being attacked by violent homophobic dickwads, basically, and he is so torn between, the sort of feelings of vulnerability and fear and going, oh gosh, I have this leadership position. What if this is my time to shine? He's torn between that and the fact that he also really hates trans people. And seemingly his hatred of trans people has won out. There has been no statement at all by Stephen Rainbow about any of this. They got Prue Walker, who is the Disability Rights Commissioner and who was like named as their LGBT rights spokesperson, which like the guy is gay. Why not just get him? But yeah, Prue Walker put out a statement being like, oh, rainbow rights, human rights, recent events, no direct reference to what's been going on. And if you think someone's contravened your rights, get in touch with us, the Human Rights Commission. But yeah, I suppose I
I
just
do
say this to
actually.
highlight the weak institutions that we have, and how I suppose, oh, sorry, I've just broadened a tangent here, but basically how the increase of transphobia is facilitating this, because it's not just transphobia within these incredible Christian groups that are nuts, but it's the transphobia that has been building within polite liberal society that has created the space where even some people will be like, oh, I don't agree with their tactics, but I do worry about the children. And in the gay community as well, having, people who are now sort of, turkeys voting for Christmas, basically, who are so torn between, yeah, their hatred of trans people that they sort of refuse to defend themselves almost, which is a very bizarre situation to be in.
Yeah, and a horrible one too, right? Like, no one wants this. No one reasonable wants this. And you mentioned the anti-trans stuff as well. That's another link that isn't being made, in terms of the uptick in allowing space for this kind of hate. You can directly link that to New Zealand First and the ACT Party and to the National Party. All three of these major New Zealand political parties. All three of them parties of government, currently, have at the very least been dipping their toes into this and creating the rhetorical space for people to become more violent. David Seymour, the leader of the ACT Party, has been actively broadening the extent to which violent rhetoric is allowed in our political and media spheres. You know, like a couple of people have mentioned this online, but in 2023, he was making jokes about blowing up the Ministry for Pacific Peoples. And there are at least a couple of New Zealand media folks who laughed along with him when he was kind of making some of those jokes on stage. And there were no consequences for him, right? Like he
No.
that's the kind of thing that should see you removed from public life.
I mean, you'd think so, right? You certainly would, but for some strange reason, the media and David Seymour and the ACT Party in broad just, that consequences phase never gets reached for reasons I don't quite understand. I would say as well, like, we got to shout out to our boy Winnie on this as well. We cannot have a discussion about transphobia and
Oh, yeah.
increasingly dehumanizing rhetoric without bringing in our boys Winnie and Shane. I mean, the sort of like nominative and then actual leader of the New Zealand First Party, respectively, who have been just basically going ha 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 trannies as a joke, and as a policy position for quite some time, and who have been bringing in some very dehumanizing anti-trans policy. But again, I think more interesting to me is just the opening up the space in terms of that dehumanizing language, the dehumanizing rhetoric. And yeah, creating the political space where a movement such as this can come in. I also thinking about our lovely friends and allies in the Beehive. The other thing that comes to mind is that he's been, he said all of the appropriate things. He's respected the elders and honored the rituals. But Chris Luxon is a Pentecostal.
What?
Yeah, which, people talk about the upper room. The upper room are Pentecostals. Now, I'm not a scholar of religion, but Pentecostalism is an extremely conservative, sort of hyper-conservative form of Christianity that is founded around a number of really troubling theological precepts, including the idea that men who are Pentecostals sometimes are referred to as like Christian kings, whose role it is to control society. On behalf of God, they are big fans of ideas of demonic possession and faith healing, both of which Pentecostal faiths often apply to people being gay, as in you are possessed by a demon, therefore you need faith healing. I think
Conversion
it's
therapy,
notable.
otherwise, or
Yes.
like torture, perhaps.
I mean, perhaps, but I think it's notable that all of this is happening as well, at the same time that the leader of the country is a subscriber to a Pentecostal faith. Now, we don't know much about his personal faith. I did sort of mean to actually call out to the audience. The Upper Room, which is the name of Christopher Luxon's church, has sermons uploaded to its website. I did mean to spend some time this week going through them, but I decided I loved myself too much.
Good
But
choice.
if
Good choice.
anybody is feeling low, and wants to do us all a massive favor,
Wants to feel lower.
yeah, absolutely. There's probably a research project to be done there to get a clearer idea of the theological environment in which Chris Luxon is marinating. But
Almost
you're sort of.
like something a New Zealand journalist should have done.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't really have any of those, isn't it?
But yeah, you're right. Like it's this room has been created, right? And these are the results. You know, we talk about stochastic terrorism, and people have a go, ha 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 ha. Like, don't be silly. Me saying something has no impact on the world. I have plausible deniability, and everyone knows that's bullshit at this stage. Like, and if you're in media, like some literal journalists are, and having a big fucking yuck up,
I mean,
when people
alleged.
know. Because they do this, they come and like jump in my timeline and do it. So like, not alleged. I know you're actually
Oh
out
no,
there.
I mean alleged journalists.
Oh,
A self-identified, if you will, a
yeah,
self-described
absolutely.
journalist.
If you're doing that, you're part of the fucking problem. Because stochastic terrorism is real. You know, if someone is up there saying, oh, we should fucking blow up this ministry for this minority group in society, that has a fucking impact. And likewise, if you have politicians like, you know, have come in via the ACT Party and have come in via New Zealand First to do the anti-trans shit, like, politicians should be held responsible for using their platforms to do this. For making this happen, and especially in situations where apparently the rest of like state power is not going to be utilized against groups who are kind of undertaking violent acts for political means, right?
Although, I mean, sorry, just as you mentioned, the, state power against groups who are taking violent political acts, this might be a bit of a tangent, but it feels related, is that so this all went down on the Saturday. Destiny Church first attacked literal children at a clown show, and then managed to effectively stop. I mean, it restarted afterwards, but literally stop in its tracks the Auckland Pride Parade for a moment in time later in the evening. On Monday, the Independent Police Conduct Authority released a report calling for new legislation to allow the basically to give the police power to regulate the way in which people act at protests and counter protests,
And this is why I'm
which
always like, they let some of this shit happen so they can get it over the line with liberals, right? So they can get this extremely authoritarian bill, like, over the fucking
So
line.
the recommendations are basically that this is, a but that Parliament passed a law that applies to people in public spaces undertaking political speech and political actions, and allows for that behavior to be regulated by the police. There are specific, I haven't read the whole report, to be perfectly honest. There are specific recommendations that I don't feel confident in talking about, but that is the concept of what is being asked for here. This came off the back, ironically, of the Posy Parker protests the other year, during which, the world's least favorite TERF turned up and we
I don't know,
absolutely axed it.
J.K. Rowling is out there.
True, difficult competition, but Posy Parker came, we threw tomato juice at her. It was amazing. It was a really sort of, moment of unification for the country. But there were a lot of complaints to the Independent Police Conduct Authority about not stopping this poor woman from being assaulted with, a corrosive chemical, which is to say tomato juice. And as such, IPCA have been going, oh, what could the police have done better? And they've come down on the side of, well, they could have arrested more people, I suppose. And this coming off the back, again, in terms of the timing of this, coming off the back of initially a pro-trans counter-protest in which, tomato juice was poured on a person, which I think is both funny and good, actually. But, in which a form of physical action was taken in terms of expression of political speech to have this law to restrict counter protests. And then that may have been much more difficult to sell because that has been done in favor of the sort of TERF argument of that protest. So to have Destiny come in and now do this massive anti-queer thing, and then literally the following Monday to have IPCA come out and say New Zealand needs a law that would allow the police to prevent situations like this, sort of keeping a little bit more quiet that this had come out of the one time the New Zealand public did something cool recently. It is pretty remarkable. And I suspect that is in lieu of meaningful left-wing parties. And I feel like we do have to say, like, shout outs to Shannon Halbert and Labour, who has been a real strong voice on this and who has been real staunch. Shout out to the entire Green Party, and also shout out to Te Pāti Māori in its entirety, who have also been great. Labour, you need more people for me to
Being
add to the
great.
shout outs. But yeah, in lieu of these people being in power and having an understanding that bad things are bad and good things are good, and being willing to sort of state that openly as people seeking to wield and wielding political power, in lieu of that, what we will get are technocratic neoliberal solutions. And in this case, it's introducing a system of technocracy, right? Like a system of rules and regulations over the ways in which anyone is allowed to express political speech from this point onwards, more or less. Which is, yeah, classic neoliberalism, I
It's
suppose.
also just absurd. Like, police have the fucking powers to stop this shit already. Are you fucking kidding me? They go and like fucking beat up kids all the time who are protesting. What are you talking about? Like, get a fucking grip.
Well, police were great at this, right? They knew how to kettle people. They would be very happy if you were protesting an arms dealing conference or something like that to, hold you in a very small amount of space till you pissed yourself and then made you go home in shame. And for some reason, I don't know what happened over the COVID lockdowns. Maybe all of the police got COVID and it attacked the part of their brains that remembered that. But from this point onwards, they seem to have gotten significantly worse at using the powers that they currently have to do crowd control. I'm, of course, referring to the Parliament protest and occupation, during which, during the first week, police almost kettled the occupation. And I'm not a big fan of kettling as a tactic. I do think if they had run an effective kettle, which is, again, squishing people from a protest into a very small space, holding them there until they piss themselves, generally. And then making them go home in shame. If the police had managed to do that, I think there was a chance that that would have shut down the Parliament occupation within the first week, whether right or wrong as a
Almost
tactic.
like
But
the powers that be allowed that entire fucking joke to
yes, but
happen.
yes. Yeah, so, since then, the sort of technologies of policing, things like kettling, and yeah, really intrusive surveillance that makes people very scared while they're at protests, and shows of strength by uniformed police officers. There has been this weird kind of retreat, and I don't think that yeah, the both the timing of this IPCA report in relation to the Destinies thing, nor frankly. What, if we're looking at it from a liberal perspective, just straight up failures of policing occurred on the weekend, right? I mean, you had people who were entering a public building, but were told repeatedly that they were not welcome there, that they shouldn't be there. People who were committing assault, like, there was a
They're not protesting
pretty.
anymore. There are other ways to get them.
Yeah, there's probable cause at this point for the police to do whatever they want, but. Yeah, the technologies that we've previously shown them use to manage protest seem to have gone out the window over the last couple of years. And then coincidentally, here comes a new technology to further allow them to regulate not just people who are committing offenses, but now anybody who is in a public space sort of speaking about political thought.
And this is how groups in society, like little fascist upstarts, like Brian Tamaki, are utilized indirectly for the most part. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy here. Thank you. Go and drop. Oh, don't worry. Angela apparently is. That's how they use. So you have like violent groups who go and do stuff, and then it pushes the state authoritarian. Towards the more authoritarian policies. And like, oops, I guess we had no choice. No, you fucking love it, mate. This is what you wanted. Like, otherwise, if it wasn't what you wanted, you would have stopped it from happening in the first place. Because we like, as we went through, this is about material conditions. And I guess that brings us to what is, I guess, the response of parts of the community here. Because People Against Prisons Aotearoa have put together this fantastic speaking lineup and event that is happening tomorrow from when we're recording this on the 23rd of February in Auckland, which is a, I guess you call it a, like a, what kind of event would you call it? A protest event, I
It's
guess.
yeah, a protest event. I think it's being described as a day of power, which
Yeah, that's good.
I think is right because I suppose that again, we are beginning to leave the territory of protests in terms of the actions that were displayed by Destiny's Church. And there is an attempt to yeah, bring in these sort of protest solutions that are quite authoritarian to deal with that. But I don't think either of us are confident that will. What I think might actually nip this in the bud before it is before the sort of Brian Tamaki of it all manages to metastasize much further is a mass turnout,
Yeah,
basically, at
like
events such
for
as
Posey
this.
Parker, like for Posey Parker.
Exactly like for Posey Parker to say that actually no, we are all in this together. And that we are going to turn up in such numbers that even if you have your, like most psychotic teenagers, They're not going to feel comfortable doing something.
So I think we're a couple of speakers to talk about that, and they've got political demands as well, which you should have. The first is around charitable status. So Destiny Church still somehow has a wide range of what privileges that would be afforded to churches.
Yes, as a charitable organization, they effectively are subsidized for tax purposes. So churches pay, as I understand it, I'm not sure whether they pay corporate income tax. They do pay GST on purchases that they made. So the 15% that gets applied at the checkout for everything. And that is refunded. The government gives them all of the money that it takes in GST back at the end of every financial year because of the good works that they do in the community.
Such as they are. And the other one is to stop government funding going to them via, I guess, the Ministry of Social Development in part, maybe Ministry of Corrections to do these rehab
Primarily
programs.
courts, as I understand it,
Oh,
as
right, okay.
well. And I think this is a bit of a trickier problem because procurement for corrections, as I understand it, they've had chats with Destiny's Church at various points in time in terms of getting them involved with projects. But to the best of my understanding, at least within the prison estate, they have never actually got up and been running them on
No.
a large scale. MSD, I do think, has, and Oranga Tamariki as well, I believe, has relationships to, if not churches that are, or groups that are directly controlled by Destiny's Church, then sort of like social care providers who are staffed very, very heavily by Destiny's Church
Yeah.
goers. And then also, again, I think the other side of this is judges sometimes make orders that have conditions for people to go to these groups.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is comparatively easy for a government agency to review its procurement of services from one of these groups and be like, oh, well, you've just done some crimes. We don't want much more to do with you.
Yeah.
What I think will be more difficult is judges are individual people with a stunted view of the universe, frankly.
Surely not.
And there is a much less coordinated, less controlled kind of system around the ways in which people are directed to certain programs, to certain treatments, things like that. And so that will be something that I think will be very is like desperately necessary for the judiciary to stop ordering people who are present in courtrooms into these sort of radicalization programs. But I think it will be potentially more difficult and interesting to see, I think, which judges follow through with this and which do not.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can make blanket rules around that though as well, right? They can
Yeah.
so one of the things being asked is that these organizations, like the government organizations, completely divest and stop making referrals to, any group or person who uses Destiny Church workers or subcontracts to them, right? As you say, comparatively easy to do. I think these are very like simple, straightforward administrative asks. Right. I saw, I think Phil Twyford today or yesterday was adding his voice to that around the charities register stuff. He's the MP for Te Aratu. So yeah, I'm hopeful on that front. But the second part to this is, as you said, people just need to show out in force. Like it just needs to, I think in general, and this has been shifting in large part thanks to Māori. New Zealanders have been really, really bad at getting out and showing support for stuff and have like having a physical presence or making their voices known. There's this tendency to be like, oh, it'll be okay. Oh, I don't want to like cause a fuss or rock the boat. When ACT or New Zealand First talk about the silent, brutally reactionary majority, we know that's not true because we know the majority is actually like invested in having a functioning country. No one knows that. Yeah, like you actually need to stand up and do something about it and show that that's actually the case because the lack of action, the lack of taking up public space has allowed both politicians and the media to make claims about the majority of New Zealanders that are just blatantly untrue and use those to push violent political outcomes. And so in your name, it is in your name. Like, especially if you're like white and straight, like it is in your name. that they are doing these things. That when they are referring to the silent majority, they are referring to you who is not standing up. And I like, obviously, I'm talking to a podcast who and an audience who understands this, right? Like, who I would say we are probably none of us reactionaries who are actively sitting within the quote unquote silent majority. But I think it's just a really important point to be making about the way that political speech and the political environment operates. And it's why you see a media environment that is so swiftly moving rightwards, as much as anything else, because they're all in a fucking little incestuous pit down in Wellington, and
Yes,
they've eaten
I
this
mean,
wholesale.
it's kind of funny because, like, yeah, mass turnout is really necessary, particularly for LGBT causes, because we are like numerically a pretty small minority, like trans people in particular, around about 1% of the population, give or take. Queer people heading towards 10%, you know, we're working on those numbers. But nonetheless, that's only, you know, one in a crowd of 10. And I'm really heartened by what you're saying in terms of, you know, like the average New Zealander doesn't want this. I think I'm very aware that I live in a very tight social bubble that is mostly full of straight cis people, who are sort of all, you know, bureaucratic libs. And I've been quite troubled in the past week trying to talk to just the people around me in Wellington about this, and them going, "Oh yeah, but I'm sure it'll be fine," and da 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 da
This is it,
da.
right? This is the fucking New Zealand response to fucking everything. I guess it's a very liberal response as well.
It is, but I think what's interesting in this particular, like, broader, I guess, genealogy of like recent protest movements is that the one real exception to this, aside from, you know, the sort of hikoi and protests that have been happening since this new government came in, is that the previous example of this was the Posy Park protest, where you had historic turnout in basically
It was
every city
incredible.
in the country to tell this woman to fuck off. It was really heartening. But what was interesting was then, you know, my sense of time is getting a bit messed up because things keep happening. But, you know,
What?
some months to potentially a year later, when the person who threw the tomato juice on Posy Parker was being sentenced, I believe, or having some kind of court proceeding going on, a bunch of transphobes set up a protest or a vigil nearby the courthouse where that was going to happen. And obviously, right-minded people were like, "Well, we need to counter-protest this." And then there was a massive sort of pushback within sort of, you know, like activist and liberal spaces about, "Oh, we shouldn't be doing this, actually." And there ended up being, you know, we still had a decent turnout, but comparatively, like a drop in the bucket compared to what happened with the Posy Parker protest, I think earlier that year. That I think has me a bit worried in terms of just the general complacency of liberal New Zealand, because, you know, as you say, like, people talk about a silent majority. The fact is, people who actually care about this are a very, very small part of society. It is, you know, right-wing freaks and then people who are personally affected by their beliefs, effectively, are the two groups with a direct interest in this. I'm concerned that most people are disinterested. And I really hope that I'm proven wrong by tomorrow when, you know, I turn on the news and see an incredible turnout at this event. Because, yeah, that is what's going to stop it. And again, talking about minorities, right? One of the smallest minorities in New Zealand who probably don't need more protection, actually, are media workers who exist in the smallest little bubble and interact primarily with politicians and other media workers and PR flats. And if there is a disproportionate number of people in politics or in PR and comms who are motivated for whatever political reason to sell increasingly dehumanizing rhetoric about trans and queer people, then that is what is, in terms of, you know, like the social interactions that journalists are exposed to, it seems like, oh, this is a real constituency in society. And it's only when you get things like the Posy Parker protest coming out, and it's like, inarguably, most people think this is shit, actually,
Yeah.
that it forces the media to recognize that, oh, actually, you know, turns out I am myself also just living in a bubble, and that
Whoops.
there might be popular opposition to this, but yeah, I hope you're right that that energy is picked up and carried forward, because short of that, I don't see Destiny's actions de-escalating anytime soon. You know, I'm thinking about Pride here in Wellington in a couple of weeks, and I suspect they will turn up, and I suspect they will try cause some kind of fracas. What it will be, I don't know. And so, you know, as just a very self-interested, soft-handed Wellington lib, you know, I'm relying on the good people of Tamaki Makaurau to deal with this problem for me.
You know, as always, with Wellington, huh?
Yeah, no, of
Yeah,
course, of course.
it's really frustrating. And you know, we like, as you said, some politicians on the left have spoken out, but as far as the government goes, not really at all.
Oh, not a dicky bird.
I think,
I mean, you had Luxon in saying it was too far, right?
yeah,
Which,
that was it.
you know,
When asked directly about it,
yes, which leads, of course, to the fascinating question of
where's the
like,
line, mate?
yeah, like what amount of storming a library is enough? Like, or is okay? Is it just that you can cuss a child? Is it that, you know, like, are you, I don't know, scared some children? Like, where is that line, Chris? I'd be fascinated to know.
I think for like just the final part of this episode, I want to talk about the ACT Party, unfortunately, because they haven't spoken out about it, right? Like, they didn't speak out about the original terroristic acts of Destiny Church to attack a library full of children. However, they did deign to speak about the people in prisons Aotearoa postering for the event tomorrow, where they did this whole faux like, oh, they're using violent language. If David Seymour used violent language like this, he'd be out of parliament. Like, first of
Which,
all,
no, he wouldn't, as
no,
we've, you know,
we
as we touched on at the start of this, he
evidently
made a
no.
joke about blowing up a public service department.
And he did not lose his job. Let's be really clear about it for starters. Like, and
No,
look,
he got promoted.
oh yeah, absolutely, you're
As a
right.
matter of fact, he got in government after that.
Yeah, he's going to be deputy prime minister in May.
But also, like the violent rhetoric they're talking about is a picture of
Well,
a
yeah, let's get into
person
that.
swinging a hammer down onto the ground. I haven't looked at the poster up close, so it might be like hitting something. I'm not really sure, but it's something just somebody just like hitting the ground with a hammer. Which, you know, like it's not violent actually. I struggle to see that. You know who has
No,
been?
but it uses the terminology, these queers bash back.
Ah, right. Yes. And again, like, you know, personally, I don't give a shit because I think good things are good, actually, and that queer people bashing back is a good thing and should be done.
Yeah, it's.
But again, I think what's notable as well is that you didn't have the ACT Party commenting last year when Destiny's Church were promoting, were sending around posters with a picture of a severed head on the ground. And like some comment about like trans people or queer people and the phrase off with their heads. So it, yeah, for libertarians who, you know, are all about peace and all about, you
Yeah,
know,
obviously.
equality of access and all of these sorts of things, there is a remarkable discrepancy in terms of what gets picked up by our pro speech party in terms of being unacceptable speech, like, you know, a poster of a person, versus a group that, you know, posters of severed heads and then also physically attacking a bunch of children.
Yeah, and this is again, and this is like that act playing that plausible deniability game. This is opening space for violent rhetoric from one side and not the other. And you know, the question being begged is like, what are they bashing back about, right? Like, and I just what really frustrates me is that no one is asking David Seymour this directly, right? Like, here is the ACT Party openly running cover for political violence on the extreme right. That is materially what is happening here. Refusing to do the same for a minority group who is evidently been under attack with physical violence, and you do not have a single journalist asking what the difference is, like why the ACT Party is going into bat here. against queer people. Like that should be David Seam should be hounded every day about that. Like in any functioning like media class, that would be happening because it's so absolutely clear. And sure, he's gonna give like, oh no, that's not what we actually meant thing. Okay, fucking force him to say it though.
Exactly, like hold him to it. Equally on, I'm sorry, this is I know I've been rambling a bit this episode, and I'm bringing in another tangent
No,
at the
go
11th hour
hard.
here.
We're all about
But
tangents.
in terms of what would a functioning media ecosystem would do as well, which is a part of the conversation that I had on my notes for this episode and then forgot about until just now, but which is gay bashes. There has been
This
a
is where
mass
the term comes from, right? This is
noticeable,
what
well,
the
no. Well, so there has been a massive and noted and publicly reported on upswing of gay men using Grindr being invited to dates in, like park streets, whatever, and having the shit beaten out of them and being left in the street. These are the assailants are, as best we can tell, often young people. We don't really know all that much about them. However, I would not be in the least bit surprised that the same children, mostly who are, invading libraries, concussing other children, are also related to this massive and slightly unprecedented, given, the 2010s where violence against queer people was massively sort of dropped across the board, this massive upswing in direct physical bashings of individual queer people. Again, if I was a journalist, a self-identified journalist in New Zealand, I would be wondering whether maybe the radical youth group that has, or sorry, the violent sort of political movement against queer people that we are seeing cover run for overtly by parties like ACT, and which is doing public brazen attacks in the street, is not also potentially involved in these other less overt, less public attacks, but once again, a tactic of terror of, using a platform that is used by the queer community in such a way as to scare people off meeting, connecting with other queer people. Just to bring it full circle, sorry, your point about, what would a functioning media ecosystem do? I don't know. I'd love to find out, to be honest.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this episode before 2 p.m. on the 23rd of February, get down to, and you're in Auckland, get down to Albert Park, like, quick, run out the door right now. Get down there, go and show your support. And if you're not, do the next one.
Do the next one
Or maybe
and
I saw you there. Maybe I saw you there.
Pride season is coming up as well. These sort of pride events of the country travel down from Auckland chronologically. Just remember that chains are always a look that goes well at Pride.
Yeah, absolutely. All kinds of looks go down well, honestly, for reasons that we're not going to get into right now. What? Where do you? We're at the prediction segment.
Oh no.
Yeah, I know. Where do you see this
Delay.
going? Yeah, because it feels like not to like be pessimistic, and because I do usually have to try and be the optimist on this fucking podcast, but People Against Prisons Aotearoa have had to turn this over incredibly quickly. Decide to run an event, get the event organized, get everything administratively in place, get everything materially in place for it. They've turned it over in about a week, which is scrambling for it,
Yeah,
right?
and get speakers as well. I mean, they've got MPs going up.
Yeah.
Getting MPs to do
Fucking
anything
incredible
is,
work.
yeah, no, it's an incredible organization. In terms of where I see this going, I think it's a bit early when whenever I find myself not being sure is always positive, right? But I could see this going in a couple of different directions. I could see us having Posey Parker turn out tomorrow and hopefully also at subsequent Pride events throughout the Motu as they occur. And I could see that being the thing that, regardless of whether Brother Brian's mob turns back up again, the just sheer weight of people they are trying to fuck with is so large that they can't. That would be the best outcome for this. I can also see, and again, I'm really hopeful for tomorrow's event. The people behind it are incredible people. There are incredible people there speaking. Tamaki Makaurau is a fine city, I suppose. So
Ha
hoping for very good things and mass turn out for that. I think in my mind, what it will hinge on is continued turnout at other Pride events. Because it's the whole thing of, you do something once to show somebody that you can do it, and you do it again to show them that you can keep doing it. And it is that understanding that you can keep doing something, which is what dissuades an adversary from, taking further action against you, right? And so I suppose the slightly black-pilled side of me is that you may well have incredible turnout from this awesome event run by fantastic people tomorrow or today at time of this podcast releasing. If that is not sustained with follow through by straight people and by cis people primarily, right? Like, gay people are turning out to these things. It really is incumbent on the rest of yous to sort of really be here for this. But I do worry that if there is not that same mass turnout at subsequent Pride events, that something similar to what happened in Auckland will happen again, and that will probably go worse, I suspect. And that will create such fear and outcry amongst the libs, both, the sort of crypto-fascist libs in the National Party, as well as the just dipshit Chris Hipkins sort of Starmerite libs in the Labour Party. Sorry, I couldn't be on here for a whole episode without calling him a fucking idiot once. That will create such outcry as to further motivate the progression and potentially passage of this legislation that the Independent Police Conduct Authority is proposing, which we talked about earlier in our discussion. I think that is probably the scariest outcome to my mind. There is also a world in which, Destiny's Church keeps turning up attacking people and there's not public outcry. And that would also be very bad. But I think the, in a lot of ways, the worst option is if this starts as a mass response and then turns into an institutional response. Because the institutional response will be to pass legislation and to enable law enforcement agents to take action to restrict pretty much anybody's political speech. And I mean, we know how these laws are applied. They are
Only against
never applied in favor of the
the
right. Yeah, it is, and it's a ratchet as well, right? Like, once you pass these laws, it is much more difficult to get them unpassed and to repeal them. And so, yeah, my great hope is that people keep turning out and that basically Destiny realized that this isn't a winning strategy for them. Yeah, my biggest worry is that we turn out once but not twice, and not subsequent times, and that Destiny Church are able to use this as a winning political strategy insofar as they are able to commit actions that provoke outcry that then allow the police to regulate the activities of public protesters, knowing again that it's not going to be Destiny's Church protests that are going to be hugely regulated by this.
Absolutely. And I think that's right. Like, if you're going to do a mass movement, you have to bend the institutions, right? Like, any institutional response has to come out of the mass movement, not have the mass movement appropriated for the purpose of the institution.
Exactly.
It's, yeah, I broadly agree with you. I think one of the things which really needs to happen is that some of the other bigger organizations, and you've seen a little bit of this over the last week, like church organizations who have been coming out like against Destiny. Those people need to show the fuck up. Like, just releasing a string of words at this point isn't good enough. And it's the same with the Labour Party or whoever as well. Like, everyone, you can't just be like, oh, we really condemn all this, blah 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 blah. Like, oh, we don't stand for this. Religion doesn't stand for this. We're Christians, and this is not the Christian way. Yeah, fantastic. Get it on the
Come
front
out and show
line.
your love. Be your be trans people's neighbor, be queer people's neighbor, right? Speaking to the Christians, I presume, are in this audience, is that the Samaritan didn't just release a statement of thoughts and prayers for that dead guy he found by the side of the road, right? Like, there was a bit more active steps involved in that story, as I recall it. And this is the time for church groups to walk the talk.
Because they're
I would also
taking your lunch as well, right? Like, Destiny is like, hey, this is what Christianity stands
Yeah,
for.
exactly. And yeah, not just taking your brand, but also, right? Like, if they keep getting popular, they're taking your money too, churches. Like, you guys all run on donations.
No, yeah, absolutely. And that, I'm obviously calling out churches because this is the religious extremist who needs pushback from that community as well. But the same goes for a range of institutions and organizations who have been happy to say things and haven't turned out a base. Like, we want unions there, we want members of political parties, we want business people there, like you've been fucking rainbow washing stuff for fucking a decade.
Now would be a
Now
nice
would be a
time
nice
for
time to fucking show up.
ANZ's diversity and inclusion staff to actually show up. For the guys at Ernst and Young in their pretty large DEI department, like, take the day off, show up. This is your time. You've been making careers off of this, and now it's your time to give something back to the community. Suppose the other one is, political parties. Again, we know Te Pāti Māori are in the tank for queer people as a political organisation. We know that the Greens are very much with us. The Labour Party has some people who are, and it has a leader who I genuinely don't think is. This is the same leader who, during the election campaign in 2023, was asked, what should we do about trans people in sport, since he'd follow the sporting codes, which are the primary source of anti-trans sort of backlash within the sports, as sports administrators and sports codes. This is the same Chris Hipkins who idealizes Keir Starmer, who has
Is a
defined himself
fucking
through
monster.
transphobic policy, right? This would potentially be a moment for an otherwise completely spineless, gutless, formless politician to actually demonstrate to some of his detractors that he believes in something other than himself, I think, by showing up for something that he's not a part of and that he doesn't seem to fully understand.
Give us more than a fucking tweet, mate. All right. Hey, thank you so much for joining us, Angela, on this I think sunny Saturday morning.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to be here, and I have been all over the show. My thoughts have not been organized, so
Look, that's what
my
the podcast is
apologies
all
to our
about.
listeners.
No. Our listeners are used to it. In fact, it's probably more orderly than usual because we stuck to one topic. If you've enjoyed this, share, like, subscribe, get out and take part in actions. Organize with these groups who are pulling these actions together, because we need more administrative like functions, folks. We like all progressive organizations need more money and they need more people. And anything that you can do to help groups like People Against Prisons Aotearoa get these moments, these political actions, these policy asks over the line. Helps move our society forward. And also it feels fucking great to be involved with these fantastic people. Like, everyone working for these organizations rules. Like, if you're feeling like you're part of the male loneliness epidemic, join one of these cool
Get
groups.
involved.
Yeah, get involved. Help us fight back against the fash. That's been another episode of One of
And
200. Final word from Angela.
oh, final word. If you see somebody wearing a Tū Tangata drip out on the street, remember there's no law against spitting in front of them.
Wonderful. That's been another episode of One of 200. We'll catch you next week. Have a good one.
If artifices are denied, live in a pointless life, but learn in all your lessons. Fucking politics, there's no distinction. The road's far now, it's paved with good intentions. And I'll admit that I'm at a loss for what to say when they quote this as a cost. I live amongst the people every day in this vindictive, forgetful fucking race.